Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify's made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, July 11th. I'm Patrick Coffey for the Wall Street Journal. The robo-taxi wars are heating up between key players like Waymo, Tesla, and Volkswagen. Self-driving minivans are already testing out German roads, and a deal with Uber will bring them to the U.S. next year. Plus, what are data scrapers, and why are big publishers trying to block them? We look at the latest development in the fight between AI and the news business that could change the future of the web as we know it. But first, scrapers don't sound like the friendliest tech toys, but they're especially threatening to the media business since they descend on websites by the millions in order to vacuum up the kind of content that feeds AI products, and that includes the original reporting that drives news organizations. Now, some publishers are hoping to force the AI giant's hands by blocking their bots altogether. The Journal's Isabella Simonetti reported on this emerging phenomenon. Isabella, publishers are now fighting tech companies to protect their websites and avoid having their stories hoovered up to feed new AI tools. How does that process work?
So there are three paths that publishers can take in order to defend against this issue. One is litigation, which we've seen, for example, with the New York Times, which is suing OpenAI and Microsoft. The second is cutting licensing deals with the big tech companies themselves in order to make sure that they're getting compensated for the use of their content. And then the third, which we explore in the story, is working with companies like Cloudflare, who claim that they have technology that can essentially block bots from crawling and scraping content from publishers' websites.
I feel like there's been a bit of an if you can't beat 'em, join 'em vibe when publishers sign licensing deals. Do they hope that the new blockers might force AI companies to the negotiating table?
Yeah, so AI isn't going anywhere. It impacts all of our lives, and we're even using it in newsrooms to make our work more efficient and better. And we're still in the very early stages of this. And these news organizations recognize that they need to cut deals in order to have a sustainable relationship going forward with the big tech companies. That being said, because of the ongoing litigation, the deal-making environment is somewhat tense. A lot of people want to wait and see how that plays out in order to come back to the bargaining table. News organizations are in touch with these companies about potential deals, but whether or not they actually get done and the nature of them is still something that is being sorted out.
So do AI companies have the right to use all this content on the open web? And if so, what's their justification for that?
That's what's up for debate. News companies and publishers argue, no, it's not fair use to take our content without permission. And the AI and big tech companies are arguing that because the technology is so revelatory and transformative, it is in fact fair use to use our content to train their models. So it's something that judges are debating and are going to have to decide as these legal cases unfold.
So as you said, Cloudflare recently debuted a tool that they say can block the scrapers and determine how the media company's content can be used. Do we know how realistic this proposal is, especially since past efforts have failed?
It's hard to know. A lot of news organizations are supportive of the endeavor by Cloudflare to propose basically this technology that can serve as a middleman and stop bots. The AI and big tech companies, on the other hand, feel we don't need a middleman here. We can work things out on our own or see how things play out in court. So a lot of them are skeptical of the measure, but publishers are trying to do everything that they can in order to protect their content while so much of the future is uncertain. And the only way to know whether or not this is effective is to see how it's deployed and how it works out over the course of the next couple months.
It almost seems like a way for Cloudflare to attract new business as well.
Totally. They're creating sort of an ecosystem out of being a mediator of sorts between these big tech companies and publishers. So if I'm an AI bot and I'm trying to crawl content on a publisher's website and I hit this wall, which is put up by Cloudflare technology that will say, you know, in order to use this, you need permission. Cloudflare has a whole business out of that. That's what they're trying to do. Whether or not it will work is another question.
That was WSJ reporter Isabella Simonetti. Coming up, it's ugly, but it gets you there. That classic Volkswagen ad slogan might apply to its latest product, a self-driving minivan that the company hopes will move its ride-pooling service into the U.S. market with some help from Uber. That's after the break.
Oh, that's my Prime delivery.
What, already?
Only one thing can match the buzz of Prime's fast delivery, and that's the buzz of Prime's entertainment.
What are we watching?
Heads of State, that new action comedy with Idris Elba as the Prime Minister, John Cena as the President, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas as their only hope. Looks like a blast.
From fast delivery to explosive entertainment, it's on Prime. For only $8.99 a month, join now. Content includes limited ads, subscription auto-renews. For more information, go to amazon.co.uk/prime.
Volkswagen, the famed German automaker, is partnering with Uber in an effort to bring its self-driving car service to the U.S. next year. Here's a conversation from the WSJ's Katie Dayton and reporter Stephen Wilmot after he took a test drive in Hamburg.
So, Stephen, what do these new vehicles from VW look like? Do they also have those big sensor spinners that we're used to seeing in, on the streets of San Francisco with Waymo?
Basically, they're adapted versions of the ID Buzz, so the electric version of Volkswagen's iconic bus. This AV, they're calling it, autonomous vehicle, has a slightly higher roof and a sensor suite built into the roof. They're black and gold, black and bronze. They're branded by Moya, which is a brand that Volkswagen created a few years ago as a competitor to Uber, like a ride-hailing, ride-pooling service. And it's been running a service in Hamburg for many years with human drivers, and now it wants to integrate autonomous vehicles into that service. And they've been running around on the streets of Hamburg for some months in test mode, bookable by staff, and they're now kind of gearing up for the launch to the public.
And you have been for a ride in one of these.
Yeah, it was actually my very first ride in an autonomous vehicle, because they're not common in Europe at all, even though they've become normal on the streets of San Francisco and Austin and Phoenix and various other cities in the US. But in Europe, they're a rarity. So this is definitely one of the most prominent tests now going on in Europe, and the only one really by a car maker. It was quite an experience, mostly very smooth. It negotiated complex driving decisions pretty well. We were in a central Hamburg. It's a very busy downtown area. We were out at 9 a.m. when there was a lot of delivery traffic, big lorries, big trucks. And this was actually where the technology came unstuck a bit, because these delivery trucks, they just sit in the road, often quite narrow roads. And if you're a human driver, you assess whether it's safe to try and pull around them, or you just sit behind them until they move on. And it struggled a bit with these situations, and in fact, on one occasion, it basically headed into oncoming traffic on the other side of the road as a way to get around the delivery truck. So it was quite a scary situation. But there are safety drivers in these vehicles, and the safety driver was able to nudge it back into the right lane. We didn't crash, but it felt like one of those situations that was a near miss and highlighted why the safety driver is still there. They're hoping to take the safety driver out. Well, they're not being hugely specific, but towards the end of 2026, early 2027, interestingly, they think they'll be able to take the safety driver out earlier in the US. So the interesting thing is these vehicles are going to the US in a deal with Uber, starting in Los Angeles with testing. They say starting late this year and a trial service starting next year. And Volkswagen thinks it will be able to take the safety driver out of the vehicle earlier in the US than in Europe, where regulations are more complex.
Can you say more about that? It sounds a lot like European car makers are further behind American ones in developing this technology. What is it about Europe its regulations and the companies there that explain that delay.
The US has led with Waymo, and actually China has not been very far behind the US, and Europe really has been nowhere to be seen until now. From a policy point of view, they're waking up to the fact that this is a bit of a missed opportunity and that they need to catch up. So we've had a number of initiatives from policymakers, from Brussels, from Westminster in the UK, saying, oh, we're going to accelerate trials of autonomous vehicles and so forth. Historically, what's held it back has been regulation. To some extent, the US has a system where it's easier to trial things without getting pre-approval for the vehicle. In Europe, typically you have to get pre-approval for any vehicle, including autonomous ones. So that puts a bit more onus on the company to prove it's safe before putting it on public roads. And that burden of proof is quite high. So that regulatory approach has held Europe back. I would say that the main thing that's held Europe back is the lack of tech giants. This technology has originated in California for a reason. And it's also been popularized in China by Baidu, which is kind of China's Google, and other tech companies. It's adjacent to AI, it's software, it's all the things that the US and China are good at and Europe hasn't been.
And how has VW's entry strategy into this market differed from the likes of Waymo? For instance, I think it's interesting it's gone with a minivan as opposed to a smaller taxi-sized vehicle.
That reflects a couple of things. One is that it's trying to do both ride hailing and ride pooling. The minivan is slightly better set up for ride pooling, i.e. where passengers would share the vehicle. And that in turn reflects the fact that it's working together closely with the authorities in Hamburg, and they are looking for a public transport solution. And part of the narrative is taking cars off the road. And so ride pooling is this sort of easier pitch to public authorities who are trying to decongest their cities than ride hailing, where you're just potentially adding taxi traffic to already congested streets. So it's very much that European approach where they're trying to work hand in glove with city authorities. Volkswagen's a quasi-public company. It's part owned by the state of Lower Saxony, Niedersachsen, in Germany. But when it comes to the US, its deal with Uber will be for ride hailing because they accept that Americans are less into public transport. And in the US, they will be competing as a taxi service, essentially.
That was the WSJ's Katie Dayton speaking with reporter Stephen Wilmot. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Before we go, a reminder that we're on a new schedule starting this week. Tech News Briefing will be back on Tuesday, and in the meantime, we'll have the TNB Tech Minute with the latest tech headlines in the feed, weekdays in the morning and afternoon. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Patrick Coffey. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.